for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Monday morning service of July the 4th, 1988, tape number 5. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jerry Garner is the teacher for the morning.
I've had several come and want and ask me about the seven caves of David and about the kings and so I've asked Jerry to continue on this morning with that and instruct us in the way that the Lord showed him concerning the seven caves that David was in and the kings that were defeated. Now, I happened to mention something this morning, and he asked me to say something about it. But you know, when Solomon came to the throne and set up his throne, he had a throne of gold. He had a golden throne. And before the throne, before Solomon's throne, there were seven steps that you had to step up before you came up and stood before Solomon. And at these seven steps, there were a lion changed at each end of these seven steps. There were 14 lions. You need to read secular history and about these eras of time. So you have people who don't read secular history miss a whole lot understanding of the scriptures. Solomon had 14 lions, seven on each side, chained on the end of these steps. And they were on chains, and the chains were such that the lions could reach together, and they could only reach just so far, and there was just enough room for a person to walk up those steps and stand before King Solomon. And those seven steps represent, I'm not able right now, but those seven steps represent our walk with the Lord. The first step is salvation. The second step is water baptism. The third step is the Holy Spirit. And then the fourth step, I think, is sanctification. I'm not sure. But those seven steps apply to our walk with the Lord from salvation until we reach maturity. Those seven steps that came up before Solomon's throne to come up and stand before King Solomon when he sat on his throne. But you had to come through the lions, the tribe of Judah, the lion. You had to walk that path that Jesus walks, that brings us to salvation and to maturity. The lion, the tribe of Judah, the lion of the tribe of Judah that stands guard and stood guard before Solomon. The way of salvation is not a way that is just a way that's slipshod. It's a way that you have to determine to walk. You couldn't be afraid of the lions when you come to stand before King Solomon, but you had to walk so that the lions couldn't reach you. You had to be sure that you walked up the path where they couldn't reach out and tear you or grab you. But Jerry wanted me to mention that this morning before he came then and talked to us about the seven caves and about the kings. So Jerry Garner, come and tell us about what the Lord showed you about the caves and the kings.
All righty. Hallelujah. Let's all just stand up and rest a minute, okay? I'm going to ask the Lord to come visit us, bring us His word, His truth. Hallelujah, Lord, in Jesus' name. Come dwell with us and be our God, and dwell within each temple here. In Jesus' name, send your fire and purge us, Lord, and cause us to see and know and understand and be, O God.
unto thee in Jesus' name, to the north and south and east and west, Lord, and in the airways above this place, we ask, dear Lord, to bind the enemy, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let the angels come and minister, Lord, and raise us up, Lord, to walk with you and stand before your throne of grace. In Jesus' name, I ask you, Lord, to loose the cords that bind our iniquities, Lord, and wash us clean and purge us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Emmanuel, create in us a clean heart, O God. Renew our mind in Jesus' name. Send your Spirit of truth and gird us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Shod our feet in preparation of peace, Lord. Bathe our steps in cream, O Lord, and cause us, Lord, to stand upright in thy way, in righteousness. Send you, Lord, a shield of faith in Jesus' name, we ask you, Lord, to anoint us now with ears to hear and eyes to see and understand in Jesus' way. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, in all the earth. Let creation sing and the angels sing, your King of Kings.
Father God, I ask for your Spirit of truth to be here, Father God. I ask for a gift of discernment to fall upon each one of us, Father God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Please sit. Something I alluded to last night, and I started to, and I kept looking around, and I said, Lord, if they're as tired as I am, let's go home right now. I don't believe in preaching beyond people's endurance and understanding. And if you're weary physically, the enemy can come in on you. You need to know that. You need to rest. And we've all fallen prey to that. I've fallen prey to that. I've gone and preached 7 days straight, two times a day, and man, I shouldn't have. I should have rested more. So we rest in the Lord, and then we can do battle. And at the end of this, the Lord has instructed me to do something about taking that bind off of people's mind that binds the carnal mind to us. And he's going to break that off. You know, when you go to study the Word, the enemy comes against you. The TV comes on, the radio comes on, the kids come in, the wife or the husband wants attention, or the neighbor's call or the dog barks. It seems like all hell breaks loose, pardon the expression, whenever you want to study God's Word. That's the enemy trying to keep you out of the Word of God. Because when Satan comes to accuse the brethren and picking on Job, now, anybody want the patience of Job? Yes. If you raise this hand for yes, you got to raise this hand for tribulation. If you want Job's patience, you got Job's tribulation. But you see, one thing that Job had that most of us don't have is a hedge. Satan said, well, you got a hedge around Job. I can't get to him. Now, that hedge in Hebrew literally means understanding. You see, Job understood. He understood the kingdom of God. He understood earth. He understood Satan. So he was able to stand. And Satan knows that when you get understanding, you automatically have a hedge. I used to try to pray a hedge around folks, and that might work sometimes, but to have a hedge from God, is understanding. When you have understanding on a subject, you have a hedge built in. And if you don't, you fall prey to one of those spirits. And I mean, I'm sorry, one of the Sevenites in the land, the Pezerite. The Pezerite in you and in me means literally open country, unwalled, meaning no hedge. So when you deal with that Pezerite and you feel the enemy coming in and you don't understand something, Say, Father God, in Jesus' name, remove that flesh part of me, the Pezerite, and take him out and give me understanding. And you begin to subdue that guy and make him work for you. Okay. Enough about that. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 21. Now, how would you like to have been David, anointed as a boy to be a king, and you end up being a sheep herder for a long time and killing bears and lions and tall guys with throwing rocks at them, and they're bigger than you are? That's how we are. And to know that you're going to be king, wow. But you got to walk through a lot of stuff. Thank y'all. Stuff. Let me talk about the stuff. You got to walk through and wade through some stuff. And if you remember when David's army got to the city of Jerusalem and said, we're going to take it, and the Jebusites were inside laughing at him, said, the blind and lame are going to keep y'all out. Now, the blind and lame among God, this is not the subject, but I want to tell you, the blind and lame among God's army are those who are spiritually blind, are spiritually lame. They can't enter into the city because the army that went in, David said, anyone who can crawl up the gutters, if you look in your word, it's literally talking about the water spouts that came down the walls, was the only way in. You've got to get your hands dirty. And would you like to crawl up a sewer pipe to fight an army? I mean, you know, that's a hard task. But anyway, he climbed up and they went inside. David said, any man that can enter into the city that way, I shall make a captain of the hundreds. You shall be a ruler. You shall be an authority with me. Those men went in, and the blind and the lame could not enter in that way. They went in later when the gates were open. They went in the gates. But anyway, let's go over to 1 Samuel, chapter 21. First, I'm going to read you a scripture. You don't have to turn there, but you might want to write this down because you need to remind yourself, every time you go to the Old Testament to begin to study, remind those that said, well, the Old Testament's dead and gone. It is not dead, and it's not gone. It is alive, and it is here. Okay? Read to them 1 Corinthians 10, 11, and 12. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the ages have now come. Therefore, let him who think he stands take heed lest he fall. If you don't know yourself personally, I don't mean parrot what somebody else said, and you think that you know what they said and what they feel, don't anybody try to walk in someone else's convictions and understanding.
Amen.
You'll stumble sooner or later.
Amen.
Okay? Everything that happened to them experientially was for us spiritually. And also remember, when you go to the Word of God, there is a literal translation, just like to the seven churches, the seven letters. Those churches were mailed out or sent to a literal church in Asia Minor. And each one of those letters was also speaking prophetically of a church age to come. And each one of those letters was also speaking to a spiritual church at the end times. Each one of us, you read those seven letters with understanding in Revelations 1, 2, and 3. Those letters are addressed to you. You might as well write your name at the head of each letter. Dear Jerry, I have this against you. You go through those seven letters and you make sure none of those things are in your life. Because those seven letters and seven churches are seven types of Christians, okay? And each one of them contains a promise to the overcomers. You better know your rights. You better read your will. It's been written down. It's recorded. It's got your name in it. You better read your rights. Because Satan knows your rights, okay? Okay? Let's go. Okay. Now, Samuel, like I told you last night, went and anointed David. I'm sure his seven brothers were not real happy with him. But they went to fight in Saul's army. And David was left at home to tend the sheep. And then the big church called him and said, come on down and be the music director. And we know that didn't work out with Saul's house. And he had to flee from Saul. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 21, David stopped in seven places while he was hiding and running from Saul. Now, quite literally, the physical man was going through these things, but something unbelievably spiritual was happening to David that left an exact pattern for us. God always leaves a divine pattern in everything that he does. So if those that come after, just like each time he gave a pattern for the tabernacle, it was laid out. He told Noah to build that boat, it was laid out. You can go back and dig out those patterns, and you don't have to fret, you don't have to be anxious and worry about anything. God left you a pattern for your life, for your behavior, for your personality, for everything that you are and need to be. There's a pattern in this word right here, okay? The first stop that David came to was 21, verse 1. And now David came to Nob. Okay, the first stop in our wilderness, I call this our wilderness journey. You can call it seven rest stops, seven steps. That doesn't matter what you call them. But know that there are seven places that David hid from Saul in. And each one, God used Saul to drive David out there. It's like he uses Satan sometimes to drive us somewhere, to get us off of where we are, to move us over here. We agree on that. Okay. Oh, by the way, this is going to be audience participation this morning. I'm going to call out some scriptures that need to be read in reference, and I'd like for someone just to stand up and read them. Most of them are in the New Testament, and I'll give you that verse, because there's a verse that goes with this first stop of Nob. Okay, the first stop of Nob, you know what was there, the priest was there. And remember, this is where, in verse 9, so the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the Valley of Elon, is here. David asked for a weapon. The only weapon at Nob was the sword that he had taken from Goliath. He's got a big sword, okay? And your enemy has it to use against you if you don't use it against him, okay? He threatens you with it. He judges you with it. He condemns you with it every day. Nob literally means in Hebrew to produce fruit. Every Christian is producing fruit of some kind. Some sour fruit, some good fruit. Some watermelons, some grapes. You are producing some type of fruit. And someone look up Galatians 5 and read 22 and 23 for me. And in 2 Peter, don't turn there, but make this reference. If you want to write down a group of scriptures that this is all in, it's all contained within 1 Samuel chapters 21, 22, and 23. And they correlate with 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7, which are the seven steps to God. We all know that faith, virtue, knowledge, and so forth. Each one of these seven steps that David made correlate with the seven steps in 2 Peter, and they all have a scriptural reference in the New Testament. First stop, Nob, produce fruit. And when you begin to produce fruit, you receive your sword. You receive the word if you produce fruit. Okay? The first step in Peter is faith. By faith. Everything you do will begin with faith, or it won't go. By faith. And those of us who would like to sit back and say, okay, God, when you explain everything to me, I'll get up and I'll go. When you dot all the I's and cross all the T's and I have full understanding, I'm ready to go anywhere. Well, guess what? By faith. Okay? When the Red Sea was opened, it was by faith that he raised up the staff. Instead, the Red Sea didn't open. Then he said, oh, that's good. Uh-uh. When he raised up the staff, the Red Sea began to open. If you got a Red Sea staring you in the face, you better take a step of faith. Just like when Peter stepped out of that boat. Step of faith. It's going to take a step of faith. You will do it in faith, or you'll stand there on that street corner until God finally goes, bump, and you're on out. Okay, I better walk. Okay? Someone read Galatians 5, 22 and 23 for me, please. Read it loudly so everyone can hear. Just stand up and read it if you would. This is what we do in my fellowship. I keep everybody waiting on their toes. And that way they can't say, well, you said so-and-so. I said, no, he did. Okay, read Galatians 5, 22, 23. Someone, anyone.
Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law.
Hallelujah. Whatever you're into, whatever religious experience you think you're having, whatever spiritual thing is dropped on you, prayed in you, put around you, it will be known by its fruits. If what someone prayed for you, prayed into you, what you picked up at a local assembly, whatever goes on in your life spiritually, if it produces peace, love, joy, patience, forbearance, long-suffering, it's God.
Amen.
If it doesn't, guess what? It ain't. Simple. Don't fret. I say, well, I don't know if this guy is really a prophet. Well, I don't know if what they're teaching is right. Boy, I wish I could understand the end times. I want to know who's going where, when. If God really told some of us who, what, when, and where, guess what? We'd be packed and gone before he said, amen. Okay? Okay, and you see that David fled from there in chapter 22, verse 1. After the cave, after the city of Nob, where, by the way, that Saul came in and killed all the priests. If you want to study that, that's quite an interesting story also. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Oh, boy. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And get this. Everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was in discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. Guess what's happening? People who are in debt, I don't mean just monetarily, they're put in debt by the church spiritually. Everyone who's in distress, a lot of people are in distress right now, are discontented with the church, the way it's going. What's happening? They're coming out, and it's hurting, right? Guess why? Because you're going to be gathered into a cave somewhere. And you're going to begin to, you know that scripture I told someone this morning, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together doesn't mean getting together in assembly. Being jointly fitted together. It says forsake not the assembling, putting together, not coming together. You can come together from now till Jesus Christ walks in here and not accomplish one thing. You've got to be assembled with someone else. Take what they know and mesh it in with what you know, and what happens? God says when two agree, that's agreement. Okay? And let me tell you something else from that two agreement thing. You can't be two in agreement if you're not one in agreement. Body, soul, and spirit. If your soul man is overriding your spirit man, or your flesh man is outvoting your spirit man, you're not in agreement with yourself. So you can't agree with anybody else. So you wonder why your prayers aren't getting answered. Okay? That's just for, that's it. That's one of them, something extra. Write that down, you know, on our Weight Watchers chart. Okay. The cave of Adullam literally means in Hebrew to overcome problems of the past. Now, forgiveness comes in the cave. I found out a long time ago, sometimes some of us, I won't talk about y'all because I don't know all y'all that way, some of me and some of us in our group, God has to take us into the very darkest, lowest, smelliest, slimiest pit because, you see, the little bitty light of hope and faith we got is so little, it don't shine outside. So God's got to take us way back into a real dark place and begin to focus. Now, ooh, that's just a little flicker, but I can see it now. You see, I can't see it out there in the world. I can't see Christ in me. But I get in this dark cave and you begin to focus your attention. God, you know you're right. I lost my job, my house burnt down, my wife left. Everything's falling apart. Boy, it's dark out here. But you know what? A little bit of light starts glowing then, doesn't it? God's got to get us away from some things. Don't fight and struggle. It just hurts. Go on. If God's going to take you down, say, take me down quick, God, so I can be quick to repent and come back up. Amen. The quicker you go down, the quicker you're coming up. Okay? Good. One thing about it, when you get on the bottom and you're laying flat out, all you can do is look up. Man, no more down, okay? Some of y'all have been, like me, way down. All you can do is look up. And everybody says, how's it going? I said, it's got to be fantastic. You know, it's got to get better. Got to. Okay. Somebody going to read Acts chapter 26, 18 for me? And the second step in 2 Peter is virtue. Add to your faith virtue. You've got to understand in your mind that you become a spiritual virgin in Christ Jesus all over. Totally pure, white, spotless, without blemish, without wrinkle, absolutely virtuous. You add to your faith virtue. I'm going to talk something else about virtue in a minute, but someone read Acts 26, 18 for me real loud.
To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in Him.
Amen. Hallelujah. God has got to remove you from the circumstances. If He's got to take you out of your family, if He's got to take you out of your job, if He's got to take you out of, quote, a church, He'll do it.
Amen.
To get you to a point where you can receive forgiveness and give forgiveness. A lot of us can forgive everybody, but we can't forgive ourselves. And Satan uses that as a gouge on every one of us.
Right.
Why, you know what you did. I know it. He just, I'm the righteousness of God. When I found that out, something happened inside. Okay. Let's move on to the third stop, right below that, in chapter 22, verse 3. Then David went from there to Mizpah of Moab. Okay, verse 5. Then the prophet Gad said to David, do not stay in the stronghold. Now, after we overcome some things, and things get a little pleasant, a little light begins to glow brighter and brighter, and we can, you know, caves are nice sometimes if there's a storm outside. I don't mind hiding in the cave. And we kind of comfortable there. Let's stay here. You know, we got running water, drips everywhere. Let's just stay here, okay? And we got a stronghold built up. Besides, you know who's out there in the world? I don't want to go. I don't want to mix with them. I'm going to stay in here and hide. Well, guess what? So David departed and went into the forest of Herith. Okay, the forest of Herith is our third stop. Literally means in the Hebrew to be silent. Boy, do we need this one. To enter his rest, to hold our tongue. One of these days, I don't know if I do it this week or not, I'm going to preach to you about the five kings of the Amorites. Literally means tongue. and the five slices of that tongue and how they act against you. Okay, they're in there. Remember the five kings that hid in the cave from Joshua? And the army ran off and they came back and rolled the rock off, pulled them out, cut their head off, and threw them back in and buried them where they had hid. You got to cut this thing's head off, this Amorite king. And you deal with him before you go anywhere else. Don't think God's going to send you out somewhere to mention somebody if your tongue is just a wagon like this. Okay? Herith, to rest, hold tongue, and at the same time become a helper and a worker for God. Okay, David received his sword at Nob. He received those with him in the army in the cave of Adullam. And at this point, he was appointed by God. When you get quiet, if you want to hear from God, get quiet. And you'll hear from God. Rest in him. Dare to rest in him. A lot of people don't want to rest. Well, hurry up, God. Give me patience. I'm ready to go. Just hurry up. You know, somebody else may send a different color bus for you. You know, it might sign you to go somewhere. Okay, someone read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 for me. And our next stop in 2 Peter also is knowledge. You acquire knowledge while you're in the forest of Herith. You acquire knowledge when you get quiet. And God begins to speak to you then. Some of us, we pray in tongues so long, so much, nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we just get quiet and listen. And let God speak. Be quiet and be still and know that I am God, okay? That's knowledge. 2 Peter 3, 17 and 18. Who has that?
Beware lest ye also be led away with the air of wickedness, fall from your own steadfast. But grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Okay, stand up. Stand up. I want to introduce my half-brother. Every time I get here, he calls me bro. So that means you're half a brother. This is my half brother. He's taking care of me. I love it. Thank you for the fan. Boy, it came in handy. Okay. Did you hear what he read? If you didn't, somebody else read it loud. I want everybody to hear that. Wesley, stand up and read it real loud. Turn and face him loud.
Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
I told someone last night, with what's going on in the Christian world right now, quote, with so many teachers, so many preachers, so many prophets, so many ideas, so many doctrines floating around. I mean, you could get so frustrated at that table over there, you wouldn't even want to pick up nothing finally. Now, I'm not talking about that table. That table is some knowledge that you need to get. But I'm just saying, in the world, there are so many that say, I got it. And you need it. Let me tell you. And somebody got me recently said, you listen to a tape by Garner Ted Armstrong? I said, anybody called Garner's got to be good. I'll listen to him. I don't care. And I said, come on, you folks. And they cry. You listen to this one. You listen to that one. Let me tell you, in a fellowship this size, we could eliminate the whole Christian world right now in listeners.
Amen.
We could. So somebody here drops to somebody, everybody, right? All the way down the road. Copeland, all those guys. Someone doesn't like them in here. I can guarantee it. So you know what I do? I ask God. See, I relate back to my grandmother a lot because she helped raise me. She used to get a big colander. She said, now just shake it and everything will fall out that's bad. So I asked God. I said, God, give me a big colander and I'll listen to everybody and I'll just shake it. You've got to trust the Holy Spirit. And if you don't trust the Holy Spirit, you're in trouble.
Amen.
You better go back and sit down at faith door and just wait. Shake it. Sift it. Trust the Holy Spirit in you. You know what? The seed of truth is already in you. The knowledge is already in you. So when someone comes along with the story, I may preach for 2 hours and you may hear one word that agrees with what God's already told you. That's your word. The knowledge is already there. The apostles wrote several times, I don't write you a new word or a new thing or a new doctrine. I merely exhort you to recall what we've already read. We already know. And I exhort you to go ahead and tap into that seed that's already in you. The truth that's already there. You don't have a man. You don't need a man to teach you. It's already in there. I'm here to stir up what's already in you and to sift out the garbage that the world is dumping on you. Ask God to give you a big colander. Let's move on to the fourth stop, which is K-E-I-L-A-H. And that's found in chapter 23, verses 1 through 3. And David's fighting and fleeing this whole time. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1, 2, and 3. Then they told David, saying, look, the Philistines are fighting against Goliath. and they are robbing the threshing floor. Philistines is flesh, by the way. You wonder why you're not prosperous in the things you want to be prosperous in? The Philistines are robbing. Remember the Midianites, they moved in and plundered. A lot of spirits are nomadic. They come in, they plunder and thresh the fruit, and they go. They come in, they rob what little bit of fruit you did produce, and they leave again. Remember that, okay? It's a constant deliverance. Deliverance is every day, all day for a real Christian. Okay? Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah." Keilah literally means in the Hebrew a citadel, a fortress in a high place with a commanding view, a hedge of protection. Now, there's a difference in a wall and a citadel. A citadel is a place to fight and to observe the enemy. And every single day of your life, God gives you a brick. I used to look at it like this. Every day is a brick. And I need protection from the enemy without. So every day God gives me a brick and I put that down. And I use tempered martyr so I know what's going on. And I'm building a citadel for myself. Not to hide, but to protect myself from the enemy from without. You've got to build up a hedge of protection round about you. And you husbands, you've got to build a bigger citadel to include your whole household. Okay? And you pastors, you've got to build a great big citadel for your whole flock. You're not trying to keep them now. Oh boy, I have a hang up here. Preachers that are afraid you're going to steal their sheep. I finally told two guys in town, "I don't want your sheep. They smell. They're dirty. They bay a lot. Keep your sheep over there. They won't let me come. I can't even preach in my own town except my own church. So they're afraid of me. I don't want their sheep. Believe me. You put out sheep food, you're going to get sheep. You put out dog food, you're not going to get sheep. Okay? I'm sorry, God. I'm so glad my wife is not here, y'all. Oh, boy. She'd get under me. I didn't wear a tie this morning. She'd be chastised. You got to look like it. I don't want to look like no preacher. Okay. In 2 Peter, by the way, Galatians 5:24, for someone to look that up for me. In 2 Peter, after you have faith, after you become virtuous, after you acquire knowledge, the next absolute step is self-control. You must gain control of that self nature. Don't eliminate him. Just get a hold of him. Make him work for God. He's had his fun for years and years and years in your life. Now make him work for God. Crucify self. Deny self. Bring him into subjection. Someone read Galatians 5:24.
They that are Christ crucified the flesh with
the affections
of the flesh.
Wow. Does that say in Christ or they? Oh.
They that are Christ.
Okay, I know. Mine says, they that belong to Christ have, past tense, have crucified the flesh. Wow. You want to belong to Christ? You have crucified. That's not condemnation. I rebuke condemnation off anyone. That's not for condemnation. That's for exhortation. That's to give you a goal. We've all got that goal. We want to be in Christ. We want to be like him when he's revealed, right?
Amen.
Okay. Take your journey. Our next stop, let's go over to in 23. Let's go down to verse 13. After he defeated the Philistines, by the way, he defeated the flesh for these people. They had a good time over there. Boy, it would have been nice to stay over there, but guess what? Saul found out where he was and he had to flee again. So David and his men, about 600, arose and departed from Keilah and went wherever they could go. Sometimes there's no way out. God closes every single door and you end up taking a job you don't want, living in a place you don't want to live, working in a church, quote, that you don't want to be in, doing things you don't want to do, but it's the only way right then. Well, guess what? Trust God enough that he's got you where he needs you right then, okay? Rest. Fret not. If you're fretful, anxious, check it here first and find out why. And then begin to rest in God. Because his word says, fret for nothing, be anxious for nothing. Okay? These guys escaped, it says, wherever they could go. Then it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, so he halted the expedition. And David stayed in the strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph, Z-I-P-H. Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. Ziph sounds like a good place to be. Let's find out what it means. In Hebrew, it literally means flowing, to liquefy, to soften in the sunlight pitch. I got to laugh, y'all. I remember this. And I know a lot of y'all have had this same experience. When God has come down on you, given you peace, taken all the worry and the fret and the anxiety out, and your head just kind of floats off somewhere, and you're in a room full of people, and you probably even like half of them, but all of a sudden, it don't matter. I used to think like a bumper car. Just, you know, somebody talk about, you don't matter, go over here. Oh, that's all right. You know, Job was sitting there where your house blew away and your cows ran off, and it's all right. You reach that state where you're liquid. You're flowing in the Spirit of God. And the things of this earth begin to pass away, and you don't care. That's where you got to get. You're liquid, like pitch. It flows. You ever seen a blacktop a road? It just goes. It don't care where the rocks are. It just goes on over them. And when you have a rocky road to walk, it don't matter. It does not matter. God will not pour more on you than you can take. But He'll send you where you need to go to kind of refine a few of us. And probably your best friend is a piece of metal. And guess what? You are too. And just... we're all a bunch of diamonds and we're very rough. Okay? Someone has got to read Galatians 5:25 for me that follows up right after that other one. Because the next step in 2 Peter is perseverance. After you've gained faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, guess what? When you begin to make proclamations, I've got it now, what's going to happen? Immediately, you're going to be tested. Anytime you make a statement, boy, I'm getting good now. Guess what I overcame? Da-da-da. You might as well get ready, because you open that door and the biggest, hairiest thing in the world is going to be standing there staring at you. And God says, boy, it's time to persevere. And that's the time some of us slam a door and run. Oh, God, get in. I lay before the Lord, get in the closet and hide. God said, get on the front porch and fight that dude. This is called perseverance. Okay? Somebody read that scripture in Galatians. This is fun, y'all. This is getting to be good now. Okay, Galatians 5:25. Somebody, anybody. If you're going to live in the Spirit down here front, getting slain and jerking, you better walk out that door in the same spirit. Go down to 7-Eleven and just, oh, hallelujah, get rid of your porn. You know, you're going to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit. And if you're guilty of playing in the Spirit, you better get on the other side. I ain't going through that holy water thing about teaching that no more. I'm not going to warn y'all anymore. But that group that got separated out played in the holy water. We don't want no holy water playing around here. If you're going to get slain in the Spirit and want deliverance and seek all these things, which we do, you better walk out the door in the same spirit that you play in up here.
Amen.
Because if you don't, when the fire gets turned up and things start boiling around you and the water gets stirred, like in the pool of Bethesda, and things start happening, man, you're going, whoa, boy, I'm so glad I'm in the same spirit. It'll prove if this was true. You'll know. Okay? That's not condemnation either. Okay. So that step was that. It was to flow and to liquefy and to persevere and to remain steadfast. Our next stop is over in M-A-O-N. As soon as I get over there, I'll read it to you. Okay. Is it? Y'all are ahead of me. Okay, there it is. Okay, so they arose and went to Zep before Saul, but David and his men were in the wilderness of Moab, M-A-O-N, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. I wish God would have written in Texas, you know, so you come across these things and you wouldn't have so much trouble, but that's all right. I'm sorry, that's in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 24. Okay? Then when Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David, therefore he went down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Moab. And when Saul heard that, he pursued David in the wilderness of Moab. Moab, M-A-O-N, literally means in Hebrew... this is the good spot, y'all. This is one of them rest stops of the big shade tree and the restroom and the whole bit, running water, okay? To dwell together, an abode of God, temple or tabernacle of God. That means that you, body, soul, and spirit, have now become, after you have obtained faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, your perseverance has been tested. God says they're ready for, in 2 Peter, he said, godliness, indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Dwelling, night and day, dwelling, not visiting, dwelling. There is a very big difference in abiding in and visiting with. You know, you can visit the White House, but it's sure nice to live there. That's the difference. Anybody can go visit the White House, but to abide, God wants us to come to an abiding place where His Holy Spirit is indwelling, amen, not visiting. And if you want to live in the world, guess what? The Holy Spirit will not indwell you Monday through Saturday. He won't. He'll leave. You'll grieve him. He's gone. He's gone. Someone's got to read John 15, verse 4 and 5 for me. And then someone else is going to read Ephesians 3, 17, 18, and 19. John 5? Yeah. The long John. I don't think I'll ever make it. You know, I'll never make it. They'll never let me quote in the big time thing. You know, y'all don't know what a blessing it is not to have my wife right now. I mean, she would be, boy, she only weighs 115, but she can be big when she wants to be. Okay, John 15. Thank you, Lord, for the laughter. Merry heart doeth good. 4 and 5. You got it? Or are you just teasing me? Anybody got it? You got it? Got it? Y'all both got it. Arlene, if you behave, you can read it. I know. I love it. Go ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit itself without abiding in virtue and honesty of mind, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever lives in me, and I in him, bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from God's union with me, you can do nothing.
Did you hear how that opened up? Read the first two or three words of that again.
Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you.
Okay. He's waiting for us to make up our mind. We want to dwell in him. Not visit him and pray, Holy Spirit, come down now. I need something. Got to pay the bills. Got to mow the yard. I need strength. I need healing. Come visit me. God said, if you'll dwell in me, what I have to write about that? He said, then I'll come dwell in you. And in Revelation 3, when it talks about Christ said, I come to the door, I stand and knock, I'm waiting, the doorknob's on the other side, and you've got to get up, go over, open the door, let him come in to you and dwell with you, and then he'll sup with you and you'll sup with him. And that means break bread. The Holy Spirit in you, you won't need a teacher. The Holy Spirit in you will break bread with you. This is bread. And he'll break it for you. He'll reveal it unto you. Hidden manna will be served up if you're in an abiding place and dwelling with the Most High God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Ephesians 3, 17, 18, 19. Please. Mary, read that. You got it?
That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith.
You see how the word comes alive? I don't have to preach. The word preaches. The word comes alive. Many times we sit down in our fellowship and nobody preached. The word just spoke all around the room. One scripture after another, it was read out. Just that's the word made flesh in us.
Yes.
It's coming alive in us. Okay? That's what he's talking about. Hallelujah. You want comprehension? You study a lot and don't understand anything? What did she say? What did that scripture say? If you're in Christ, you'll have comprehension. How do you get in Christ? You allow him to come in. You begin to abide and to dwell. By faith you receive. You practice virtuous things. You ask God for knowledge. You get a hedge of protection. Hallelujah. Our final stop in David's wilderness journey. This was the final stop before Saul died. Now he had a little more journey after that before he was crowned king. But this was the final stop before his enemy died. The enemy's fixing to die for some of us. I'm so excited. And if I can find it, I'm going to read it to you. I know I am. It's in Gedi. Anyone see it? You guys are good. Take y'all home with me. Hallelujah. Then David went up from there and dwelt in the strongholds at En Gedi. Now it happened when... I'm sorry, that was verse 29 of 23. But now I'm going to read 24:1. Now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines... that it was told him, saying, isn't that interesting that Saul followed the flesh? Taking note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. The flesh told on David. Then Saul took 3,000 men, choice men from Israel, and went to seek David and his men in the rocks of the wilderness of goats. Wild goats, I'm sorry. So he came to the sheepfold by the road. Oh, hallelujah. That old song about the cleft of the rock and the sheepfold. We're coming up to that, folks. And Saul went in to attend his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. They were hid in the cleft of the rock. En-Gedi literally means, in Hebrew, this is where this is our goal. This is our ultimate goal in God. To be content. And to be content, it'll show on you. Your countenance will reveal. You used to have a little thing about the eyebrows. You can look at a person in the eyes and God will tell you everything just about. They're straight across, they're content. If they're up, they're anxious. If they're down, they're depressed. It's just there in the face. And we cannot muster it up. You can try. You can smile till your face hurts. But if the Holy Ghost is not in there, you can't fake it. Satan cannot fake peace, love, and joy. He can counterfeit everything but the Holy Ghost. He cannot counterfeit that peace that abides, that abiding place. And the final stop for David before he was anointed to be king, before he became king, was he reached a point in his life, like I told some of y'all last night, when you get to the point that you can really say and mean it don't matter, and that you decide I'm going to be content whatever state I am in, then guess what? The Holy Spirit is abiding in you, and then God can use you in a mighty way. So many of us are wanting to be used by God. But if you're not content, you're contentious. And I'd rather hide in the corner of the attic. Okay, the last stop in 2 Peter that we're going to talk about. After you have faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, you have achieved a certain degree of godliness. All of a sudden, brotherly kindness and love begins to be about you everywhere. And you have the ability to love everyone. And when you look at people, you don't see the spirits and demons and the meanness and the hate and the wickedness and the sin in them. You look at them in love, like Amen. Christ would.
Amen.
You can't help a person if you're condemning them.
That's right.
You can't walk up to a person and say, "Brother, I got a list here, and let's see, you've got about 14 out of 15. And what happens? That little child in there just shrivels up and goes somewhere. Sometimes you got to walk up to somebody and just hug them and hold on till the devil leaves, because he can't stay in the presence of righteousness. Next time you want to condemn somebody, go up and hug them instead and see what happens. Next time you get one of those old grouches in your fellowship, and you're like, "Wow, I've been this way for 100 years, and I'm going to stay this way. And nobody can change me." Let some little kid come in and hug them and watch them change.
Amen.
So dare to be a little kid for God. Go up and hug the old grouch. Hug him till he cries. Hug him till the ice melts. Because inside, the little bitty kid wanting to get out anyway. God's looking for a bunch of people that can move in brotherly love and kindness. Don't let the world pervert what God's given you. Someone's got to read Hebrews 13, verse 1, and then Romans 12, 9 through 12. And I'm going to be through with this. Someone got Hebrews? I love it. Keep reading it. Let brotherly love continue. Continue on a continuous basis. Now, I can love you right now because God gives me the power. I love you, brother. I get outside. Boy, I'm glad that's over. Don't have to love him no more. No. Out of sight, out of mind. Don't got to love him now. I wish. It don't work. It's so easy to love the lovely, but it's so hard to love the unlovely.
Amen.
And guess what? Those that have reached En-Gedi love everybody the same. The lovely and the unlovely. The slimy and the unslimy. The clean, the unclean. Just love them. Love's going to conquer this world. Right? Well, Romans 12, 9 through 12. Someone, please.
Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, flee to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer.
Well, read it and weep. That's what it says. Whatever's going on. In tribulation, out of tribulation, in wealth, in poverty, sickness and in health, till death is before. Oh, come on. When you got to love all the time the same? Yeah. And no matter what the circumstances. That's the true test. I could give you a little quick pop test, but I'm not going to. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But one night, the Lord says, give them a test tonight, our fellowship. I said, do y'all want to love what God loves and hates what God hates? Somebody write down the seven things that God hates. And don't cheat by turning to Proverbs and look it up either. You've got to concentrate on the things that God loves and the things that God hates. You better check yourself. You better look at the seven things that you think God hates and then look at the things that God really does hate, that He says, I hate. These things are an abomination to me. Concentrate on those first. Then God will add the rest of it if you really need it. I just ask for a sweet spirit to be here. Anyone that has that band around their head, every time you go to read the word and Satan comes against you, and it feels like there's a cord around your head, just stand up and I'm going to pray for you right now. Where you are. Okay. Father God, in Jesus' name, we come before your throne of mercy and grace. Father, I ask you to change the way we see others, Father God. Let us see others through the eyes of Christ, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray peace over this campground, Father God. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells here, Father God. And Father, I ask for a new word from you, a fresh word, Father God, a new anointing, Father God, to be poured on this place, Father God, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. You know, the tape recorder is a wonderful thing. Now, how many remembers all the definitions of all of those caves and places where David went? You remember all of them? I don't. But I'm going to take the tape, and I'm going to go mark them all in my Bible from the tape, and put them down so that when I go through and read or want them, and I'm going to reference each one back to the next one, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. So when I see 7, I can go back and find 1. Or I see 6, I can find the other 5 and the 7th one. I'm going to go through and I'm going to mark them all down. So I enjoyed that teaching this morning.
Amen.
I enjoyed it.
Amen.
Amen. Now we've got to find out about the 5 kings. The next day or two, we've got to find out about those 5 kings. And we put that, and then you put that all together, and you've really got a study. You've got something to live up to. I've got to live up to it. That's the purpose of it. Not just to hear it, but we got to live up to that. That's what it's there for. It's there for so we do it. Okay? Well, there'll be a ladies' prayer meeting at 1:15 and men back in here. And at 2:30, Gene and Earlene will be ministering. And Brother Tommy Cook, a prophet of the Lord, will be ministering tonight. And lunch is ready now, so Lord, bless the lunch. Make it health to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. And LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.